You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Angels. I'm Richard Justin of MLB.com, joined by my friend Alan Gonzalez of MLB.com. Alan, 2 weeks to go to spring training. When I look at the Angels, I see a team, not many holes, but, you know, question marks like C.J. Wilson, Josh Hamilton. Right now, what do you think is first on Jerry Dipoto's mind? What way does he have a particular concern or one more thing he'd like to do, anything like that?
Hey, Richard, I don't know that he has anything else that he wants to do this offseason. It looks like they're pretty much set. Looks like they've been pretty much set on the major league side ever since they got Matt Joyce for Kevin Jepsen in the middle of December. But one thing that you got to keep in mind with the Angels, they're going to go into this season with a little bit of payroll flexibility. And although they like the makeup of the 25-man roster right now where it stands, and they like the layers of depth that they've added beyond that, they're fairly comfortable below the luxury tax threshold right now. And I think what that means is maybe for the first time, since this front office took over 3.5 years ago, they go into a season with the cushion, with the room to make some upgrades on the roster if they need to. Looking ahead here, I think July is going to be a very interesting month for them, because if they need that starting pitcher, they could go out and acquire it and take on the extra money because they have it. If they need a second baseman, they could go out on the market and they could acquire it. I think right now they're just going to go with what they have. And just looking ahead to spring training, you know, the big question is going to be at second base. They have four guys competing for that spot. Nobody's going to replicate Howie Kendrick's production there solely. They're going to have Josh Rutledge, Johnny Giovatella, Taylor Featherston, a Rule 5 pick, and Grant Green, an incumbent, coming in, competing for the starting second base job, competing for at-bats to the utility infielder. That's going to be the one competition to watch. And I think the second one is going to be how that rotation unfolds in the bottom. If Garrett Richards is healthy to open up the season, then it's going to be just one spot. You're looking at Andrew Heaney. You're looking at Hector Santiago, and you're looking at Nick Tropiano trying to win a job in spring training. I think those are the only two question marks that they really have going into the year, but I think they feel like they have the candidates to kind of step up and embrace that role.
I want to ask you about second base. Do you think there's a favorite there, or is this just a matter of four guys going to fight it out for, you know, they're going to give them all equal at-bats and make a decision? Is there a defensive favorite, an offensive favorite? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, the guy that they went out and got was Josh Rutledge. Right. He was a guy that they were already targeting even before they traded Howie Kendrick. And if you remember, on that last full day of the winter meetings, Howie Kendrick was traded, and then minutes later we find out that they just got Josh Rutledge from the Rockies. He was a guy that they wanted even as their utility infielder if they were going to hold on to Howie Kendrick. They like him. They like what he's shown in the little spurts where he's taken over for Troy Tulowitzki in Colorado. But I heard that one really good dark horse candidate in this is Johnny Giovatella, a guy that they simply got off waivers from the Royals, didn't really have any opportunities to play with Omar Infante there. And, you know, his numbers aren't outstanding, but what they really like about him is his plate discipline. He's a guy who works counts, takes walks. That's really big for the Angels, and he's also out of options. So if you keep Johnny Giovatella on your major league club, now you kind of you have more depth than if, say, you were going to go with Josh Rutledge and then you have to slip Giovatella through waivers. I heard he's a pretty good dark horse candidate, but Josh Rutledge has a very good shot to win this job. The Angels haven't had a Rule 5 draft pick stick on their roster since Derek Turnbow in 2000, but they really like Taylor Featherston because they feel like he's the ideal utility guy for a major league club. And Grant Green's been there. They've seen what he's done. They've never really been able to find a position for him since acquiring him from the A's for Alberto Callazo. But second base is easily the position that he's most comfortable at. So, I mean, I really do see four guys here that have a legit shot of winning playing time. And I think the other key, too, is none of these guys really play third base. The Angels got to find somebody who can play third base, who's comfortable there, in case something happens to David Freese. They traded for Kyle Kubica, but they're not projecting him to be ready until next season. So they need one of these guys to also get some work at third base this spring, because they need somewhat of a safety net for David Freese.
The other thing is, you know, the Angels farm system gets widely panned, and obviously Jerry DePoto is working to turn that around. But I see production from Cam Bedrosian, from that guy in center field, Trout, from Calhoun,
yeah,
from Krohn, from Richards, from Shoemaker. It seems to me that maybe, I don't know what you look for in numbers, but in terms of guys stepping in and doing a good job last year, they got a huge lift from their farm system. I don't know that they lead the majors in victories without, and I'm sitting Trout aside, without the production they got, unexpected maybe in some cases, from their farm system. How would you look at their farm system?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Richard. And, you know, the reason why they're always ranked dead last, and I don't know what Baseball America is going to rank them this year. It's not going to be very high. I know Keith Law already had them 29th. And, you know, they're not going to be very high this year either, but they've been ranked dead last by Baseball America the previous 2 years. And the biggest reason for that is they look, Baseball America relies really heavily on pre-draft rankings of players and how they had guys stacked up going into the draft. And the Angels were a team that were without a first-round pick for like 3 out of 4 years before this past June. And it's true, they don't really have a lot of high-end talent in their farm system because they've made trades with draft pick compensation. They've signed free agents with draft pick compensation, I mean, and they've traded a lot of their minor league guys to get guys like Zach Greinke and a bunch of these other players that they've acquired because they're making a run at the title. But I think the thing that the Angels have done a very good job of, and I think it does go a little bit overlooked, they've done a very good job on the development side. And the thing that they say is, if you're not getting the high draft picks, you better compensate for that with player development. And I think if you look at the contributions of a guy like Matt Shoemaker, who went undrafted out of Eastern Michigan in 2008. He almost won a Rookie of the Year this year. Efren Navarro, a 50th-round pick out of Arizona, made some really good contributions last year and even made their playoff roster. And you can go all through the roster and find these guys. Mike Morin, who stepped in and is going to be the seventh-inning reliever this coming season, had a great year. Garrett Richards emerged as a Cy Young candidate, another guy from their farm system. Cole Calhoun, a guy that they drafted in 2011 simply because they needed prospects in the upper levels of their system who could rise quickly. Cole Calhoun was a guy with a high floor. Not a high ceiling, but a high floor, and they thought that, you know, he could be ready pretty soon. Cole Calhoun established himself as one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball last year. So I think even though they haven't had the draft picks, even though they've traded away some prospects and win-now deals, I think they've done a really good job in the development side. And now the key is bringing in the players that are more high-end, bringing in, you know, being able to draft someone like Sean Newcomb, bringing in Nick Tropiano and Andrew Heaney, or committing $15 million to Roberto Valdequin. I think that was the next step for them, and I think they're really making some strides. Again, I don't think they have much high-end talent yet. I mean, they only had 2 players in the top 100 of MLB.com's list, and that was Heaney and Newcomb. But I think they're doing a pretty good job of supplementing at different positions right now.
What do you think, after a season, after you win 98 games, what do you think that does psychologically for the clubhouse? Because you had guys from other organizations, Josh and Albert, and, you know, Trout was a young guy. So now, as a group, they've done it. What do you think that does for them, the confidence-wise it does, as they step onto the field in spring training and get ready?
Yeah, I think it's pretty big just because they finally found their blueprint as a team. And this is a club that ever since Jerry DePoto came in November, and I know a lot of some of these signings weren't his doing, but, you know, you come in November 2011, you bring in an Albert Pujols, you bring in a C.J. Wilson, you bring in Zach Greinke midseason. The following season, you blow that up, you bring in Josh Hamilton. And I think those first 2-3 years, a lot of guys were just trying to find their role, trying to figure out how they can contribute to a winning team. And I think last offseason, when they didn't make any big splashes and they just made the subtle moves like bringing Joe Smith as an eighth-inning guy, trading for Houston Street midseason, using Mark Trumbo to get a couple of young starting pitchers, no splashy deals, no big clubhouse personalities. I think that was big in terms of just maybe a little bit of consistency in the clubhouse and players just trying to figure out how they fit in, how they can fit into a winning team. And, you know, they have a really star-studded roster, and I know a lot of people always project them to win the AL West, but, you know, they overcame a lot last year with, you know, significant injuries to David Freese and Cole Calhoun. They lost two starting pitchers in August, and this is from a team that didn't really have any organizational starting pitching depth. They didn't get much out of Josh Hamilton, and to still win 98 games, still have the best record in baseball. I know it ended way too quickly for them. That sometimes is just the randomness of a postseason series. But I think they kind of found their way in terms of, you know, how to win with this group. And I think the front office's goal this offseason was to kind of shed that label of that this is a team that has to win now, and if they don't win now, they're going to hit that wall like the Phillies are doing right now, where they have a lot of bloated contracts and they have to be uncompetitive for many years to come. That's why they're trying to supplement with those young players coming up, so that their goal is to crank out as many of these 90-win seasons as possible. And they feel like if you could win 90 games, you're going to give yourself a good shot to win a World Series every year.
Yeah, and you know, you can see the idea of replenishing from below with the trade for the third baseman, Haney, Tropiano. So the Angels have it going right now. And great stuff as always, Alan, and we'll see you soon.
All right, Richard, thanks.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.